Hello and welcome or welcome back. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Technology, it's a blessing and it's a challenge. Thinking back when we started the Center for Coaching Certification 11 some years ago, technology was an wonderful opportunity. It meant we had the ability to teach classes online. And from the very beginning, that was part of the model, was teaching online. That was still new. And as technology has advanced, so many tools have come forward that we get excited about, all of the different things we can use. And then we're starting to learn some of the challenges of those tools. For example, we used to use GoToWebinar, GoToMeeting. And here's what we know now. If we use that platform, somebody can call in and listen, and we don't know they're there. Is that a confidential conversation? No, of course not. There's a challenge. So we look at other technologies. It used to be a lot of coaching sessions were held on Skype. And now we look at what's available on Skype and what their requirements are, and you literally give them permission to access content and conversations. Is Skype confidential? Unfortunately not. Recently, I've been getting emails about the updates to Dropbox and the privacy factors. Is that confidential? Not from what I'm reading. Wow, this is getting more and more challenging. Think about Google Docs. We give them permission, right? Is it totally confidential? What is safe? It is so hard to know. There are so many different technologies out there, so many fabulous resources, and we really don't know because most of us just click to accept the privacy policies and the rules for using a technology without really digging into it. And then the question comes up, are we using technology safely and appropriately with our clients? When you read the Code of Ethics, it talks about protecting confidentiality. And in that conversation, go further. Read the ethics interpretive statements. There's an example in there that I'm so excited it's there. I've been wanting that there for years. And it's a true story. It's based on a true story. We had a person in class who said, as an internal coach, taking notes on a company-owned device, and the manager of the client came to that coach and said, I want to know what you're talking about. And the coach said, well, I can't tell you. That's confidential. And so the manager, who had the level of authority to do this, went to the IT department and said, get me the notes off the computer. The IT department is responsible to that manager for providing that information and did so. So now the manager has the confidential notes from the coaching session. It wasn't protected. It was not in a confidential place. When we use a device that is owned by an organization, if we use an email address owned by an organization, or even an online meeting platform that is owned by an organization, or perhaps a phone line or owned by an organization, what is the level of confidentiality? Is it being protected? It used to be we were so excited about technologies, we didn't really think about these matters. More and more, this is coming to the forefront. It is absolutely essential that we are considering what the technology is, how it works, and most importantly, how the information is protected. Our code of ethics calls on us in number three to maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality. Number four, have a clear understanding about how information is exchanged. Number five, the conditions under which information will not be kept confidential. Number seven, to maintain, store, and dispose of our records in a manner that promotes confidentiality. In other words, our code of ethics requires us to be attentive to these considerations? And are we stepping up to the plate and really looking at it, considering it, and having a conversation with the client? For example, even asking the client, saying, given that if I email you on your company-owned email address, the company does own that information and has access to it, the question becomes, do you want me to use that email address or something else? And give the client the choice. And yes, granted, even if they have a Gmail or a Yahoo account, can somebody else access that? There's a big challenge here, right? What can we do? How can we protect it? I'm not sure if we can protect it 100,000%. There's so many caveats and considerations and people getting hacked, et cetera. At the same time, can we minimize the risks? Can we manage that in terms of how we handle it? As a coach, this is an area of responsibility for us and something for us to bring up with our clients so that we have the conversation and we agree what information is going to be kept, where it's going to be kept, how long it's going to be kept. When we ask people, they wonder, how long do I keep it? So we've explored that. Now let's have a totally different conversation in terms of technology. As we have gone through this pandemic experience we're all in, there has been a huge transition to the use of online platforms, one of the very popular ones in the coaching world being Zoom. And there are a lot of safeguards in place now for protecting the confidentiality. The question becomes, do we want to be on camera or we do want to be off camera? And the examples that we have, it's super interesting. So let me give you one. Imagine you're on camera with a client and the client says something and they notice your reaction to what they say and they apologize to you for what they said. What's the challenge with that? Literally, we think about, oh, I want to see my client. I want to see their reaction, their body language, their facial expressions. And the pushback to that is, number one, are we really trained to properly interpret those and understand those? Or is our paying attention to their body language or facial expressions getting in the way of us really listening to what they're saying? At the same time, if we're on camera, what are they seeing? What's the impact of our facial expression or body language in terms of their thinking and what they're saying? So one thing I've learned to do is I get on Zoom with the client. I'll be on camera and I'll say hi and we'll have the friendly greeting. And then unless the client wants me to stay on camera for some reason, I'll simply say, okay, I'm going to get out of your way now and I'll turn my camera off and we do the coaching session. At the end, we can turn our cameras back on, schedule, say goodbye, those types of activities that we do at the end. And what it means is the client feels like they have the connection. And at the same time, during the course of the coaching session, they have the freedom for it to be whatever they want it to be. They can stay in their own head. As a coach, our responsibilities include reviewing the code of ethics. What is it telling us? What do we want to know about that? Review the interpretive statements, read through those because they add clarity and depth to the information. They provide us more insight and a greater awareness of things to consider. Then when you're choosing a technology to use, whether it's for taking notes, sharing information, meeting online or on the phone, whatever type of technology it is, look at how that technology works. How is the information protected? What's the level of confidentiality? Who else can access it? And discuss that with your client. Talk about note-taking. And we've had conversations about the client taking notes, the coach taking notes, neither taking notes, both taking notes. It can be any combination as long as it's in service to the client. Whatever the note-taking plan is, where is that information kept and how long is it kept? Who's it shared with? What's the access to it? Again, have the conversation with your client. There are many different technologies that are fabulous resources for us. We can get online and co-create visual art with the client. We can get online and do whiteboarding and brainstorming. We can get online and just talk or see each other. There's so many things we can do. And it is our responsibility to be looking ahead. There are some fabulous resources for us, and often we forget to take advantage of what's available to us. To share with you, the International Coaching Federation, in addition to providing us the Code of Ethics and the Ethics Interpretive Statements, also provides an Ethics Overview video series. It's posted on their YouTube channel. They have an FAQ around ethics that is on their website. There's a complimentary Ethics CCE continuing coach education course you can access on the website, which is great because it gives you a chance to meet a requirement for your continuing education. There's an ethics hotline where you can either email or call and get questions answered. And there's an ethics review board that if there's an issue, they will investigate it. The Ethics Community of Practice offers quarterly webinars. They're free to all ICF members. Simply join the Ethics Community of Practice and you can register through the learning portal. There's an online discussion group in Basecamp for the Ethics Community of Practice, and there's a monthly water cooler discussion, a small group of people talking about whatever is coming up for everyone at that time. The information is there. It's available to us. It is our responsibility as coaches to know what the Code of Ethics calls on us to do, to explore what it is we are doing, what we're using, and how that works, and to have the conversation with our clients. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Come visit us at www.coachcert.com. Make it a great one.